B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hour number two, Felger and Mads, 98.5, the Sports Hub simulcast, NBC Sports Boston. No Mike and Tony today. It's the holiday book. A lot of vacations are going to start to be taken. Oh, my God, my knee just got smashed into by what the hell was this?
I heard that.
Oh, my God.
I could hear that.
Damn. Man down.
I'm going to blame Jamelli because I know Nick Jamelli's back here screwing everything.
Well, yeah, what's even? What's it like back there in that room? Are there lots of, like, jagged edges and stuff like that?
Because I get asked this a lot on Twitter, like, how come you're in this? I was told initially, as the rates of COVID are going out of control, like, you can go home or you can go in, like, the hot box of hot takes. I don't want to work from home. Yeah, I want to be in here even if the building's on fire. So I decided to come into the hot box of hot takes. So why are you always wearing your coat? And, like, it's cold because it's freezing in here. But I'd rather be wearing my winter gear and being cold than having to wear sunglasses in the other studio where I get blinded every day. So it's the lesser of two evils. That's why I'm in here. And apparently the studio is falling apart.
Yeah, well, they got stuff banging into your knees back there.
Yeah, so no Mike and Tony today. You have a bitchy big Jim Jones Arcand in for Felger and Mads on an agenda-free Friday, driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. You set the agenda at 617-779-0985. Everything is on the table, including wrestling talk for Jimmy Stewart, executive producer of this fine show. Hello, Brian and Methuen. You're next.
Hi, how's it going? I'm a big fan of your podcast, Wrestling Inside the Ropes. I just have one gripe with you, Jason. Please, for the love of God, stop saying tremendous. Everything is tremendous.
Well, we all have our crutches, Brian. You know, you can't blame him for that. What other word would you like him to use? If he likes to use tremendous, Stu. I support it.
No, that's a fair. I have crutches. I say a lot. I know my weaknesses. I just choose not to do anything about it.
We're getting air checked by the listeners now? Like, come on.
Yep. Agenda free.
Yeah. Jesus. Martin in the Cape. This says the collapse of Boston sports teams. Is it all over? Or are we Cleveland now, Martin?
Tremendous call.
Well, finally I got the right crew to peddle my take to. Uh-huh. Last time I got poo-pooed and cut off. It's the cumulative effect take, Murray. And I felt the wave of gloom wash over me. After the loss to Denver, I instantly came to the realization that not only the Pats, but all four Boston teams had the immediate potential to go to non-contender status. Hmm. And I feel like in a best-case scenario for the Celtics, Tatum takes the next step to superstardom, but I truly believe that if that happens, he'll be on the first train out of town. So I'm watching to see how buddy-buddy he is tonight with Kyrie.
Thanks, Martin. Sure. Well, this speaks to something that you said in your opening take, Arcand, that the clock is now essentially ticking now that Tatum has signed this max deal. You got 4 years here to win this title because he's going to be gone.
Yeah, and if you don't make it, I mean, if you win a title, then he'll probably stay. I feel like that's an easy conclusion to come to right now. If the Celtics are able to be a perennial contender and they make it to some finals and they win one, then yeah, I think Jason Tatum will probably stay. If they don't, you're probably going to have another situation like Oklahoma City had with Kevin Durant. And I'm not saying that Boston is as tough of a market as Oklahoma City is, but, you know, guys leave. They want to go play with their friends. They want to go win championships. They want to have a better chance of doing that. That's happened before, and it'll probably happen again. Jason Tatum is a young guy, but by the time he's 27, who knows what his values are going to be at that point. He'll probably want a ring if he doesn't already have one, and if he doesn't get one here, that's it, right? I mean, that's what Danny Ainge has been building all of this towards. This all sort of has been culminating towards Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown leading this team to the promised land. If he leaves in 4 years, forget it. I mean, that's a big thing that ended.
Sorry. I was going to say, I'd add too, I think the Celtics are nervous about that. And I think you can tell in their actions. And these are very, very small. These are very minor. So I don't want to make these sound like these are big moves or make them sound like they're big moves. But Jason Tatum a couple of weeks ago put out a video of his former teammate at Duke, Amelie Jefferson. And he's like, somebody should sign him. You know who signed him? The Celtics. Okay. I can't figure out why Javonte Green, who I guess looked okay in the preseason opener the other night, I can't really figure out why he's still on the team. He's a non-guaranteed contract. He doesn't really do anything. Why is he here? Oh, wait. He's Jason Tatum's buddy. Oh. So why do you keep guys like that around? It's probably good business, but I think they're trying to keep him as happy as possible because they might be worried about that 4 years down the line.
And did you overall agree with Martin's take that it's, well, I know the answer to this because I heard you bury all the teams, you had the funeral, but you think it's over, right? Like, this is
yeah.
it.
Yeah, well, I already pushed them all out on the iceberg. That was a few months ago. So you're a little behind there, Martin.
I'm not
yeah.
your guy, buddy.
Set him adrift.
Yeah, I'll tell you, for me, the last time I truly, truly felt the sting, and I felt like, oh, we're going back to the dark days, was Game 7. When the Bruins blew it at home to the Blues, that was the last time I really felt truly bothered for days,
when
weeks.
When did you leave again?
What do you mean? When did you
leave that game 7?
After the second period. I mean, the game was over when it was after two goals, the game was over.
Yeah.
And I still, to this day, you left after the second period. I should have left after the first. Keep chirping away. The game was over. That was embarrassing, terrible, one of the worst losses I've ever had to endure as a sports fan ever. But after that, like the Patriots last year, that loss to Tennessee in the wild card round, I showed up knowing they were going to lose that game. Like, I hated that year last year, the fake 12-4 record. You could feel the split. Brady was miserable, like, blech. I'm sort of teeny tiny little bit optimistic about the Celtics, but I don't know. Like, they still need a third of a big three. Like, they don't. Marcus Smart is not that. And the East is just better. So, I don't know. Red Sox, Pats, I think they're going to be bad. While Bruins, the window's closed. The Celtics are the only one I think you can actually make a case for.
No, I'd agree with that. I think they're in the best shape. And I don't think the Bruins are far behind. I agree. I think their championship window is closed. Like, the year they had to win is the year you walked out, Jim, in that game 7, because the whole league opened up for them. Everybody yeah. did their dirty work for them. You didn't have to play Tampa Bay. And you saw last year what happens when you have to play Tampa Bay. So, I mean, I think the Celtics are the closest, but I don't know. I don't feel like they're winning a title this year or next. And, yeah, I agree. They're still a player away. And since Celtics fans and apparently Danny Ainge hate guys like James Harden, or you don't want to trade for Anthony Davis, who, oh, weird, the first year he got traded for, won a championship, or Kawhi Leonard, who, oh, weird, the first year he got traded for, they won a championship, or Jimmy Butler, who he never wanted to trade for, could never close the deal on trading for, went to an NBA Finals further than you. I mean, if you don't go get a guy like that, then I don't know how you're going to put yourself over the top, especially with the East getting better.
Freddie in Framingham with the Patriots thought. You're next here on an Agenda Free Friday on Felger and Maz. Hey, Freddie.
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
Good, go ahead.
So here's my theory. So I think that Kirk Cousins is going to the Patriots next year.
Oh.
The reason being why. No, just hear this out.
I like it.
The reason being why is that Bill Belichick and Mike Zimmer have something in common. They both come from the Bill Parcells tree. You know what I mean? They both have that.
Right?
Yeah, it is.
I thought you were going to say younger, hotter, blonde girlfriends. Look up Zimmer's girlfriend, by the way.
I actually like
Cousins? You want to make a case for him?
I think he would be, he's not your quarterback of the future. I like Cousins. I think Cousins is top 10. Like, I would take Cousins over Stafford.
Jones. Really?
I would take, yes, 100%. I like Cousins better than Stafford. Yes. Yes. Yep.
Oh, I think he's good in, like, the middle of the field. You get into the red zone, he's a mistake waiting to happen. I just, I don't know. He bothers me.
I think out of most of the options that you, like, Matt Ryan, Matt Stafford, I would take Cousins over both those guys. What are some of the other names you keep hearing for, like, I would take him over Jimmy G, like, easily. I think Cousins is one of the better names that I've heard in terms of, like, that tier of, like, a veteran quarterback who could come available. I like Cousins.
Arcand, is there a stopgap guy you want to see them bring in or want to make a case for?
I mean, Cousins isn't a guy that I really like that much. I did like Bridgewater last year. I thought that would have been a good guy to bring in. I know he's not setting the world on fire there in Carolina, but I think he would have certainly been a better quarterback for this team right now. I listen, Ryan Fitzpatrick's the name that makes the most sense to me. At $10 million, something along those lines, bring in Fitz, draft a guy, and see what you got. But I don't think he can do too much better than him.
He can have flashes, and part of me would like the fun of completing the circle of playing for all the AFC East teams. Huh? Oh, wouldn't that be a joyful?
Pretty good.
Yeah. Brent in Shrewsbury wants to talk about James Harden. You're next here on an Agenda Free Friday on Felger and Maz. Hey, Brent.
Hey, gentlemen. I've been hearing Jones have a take about Harden saying, why don't the Celtics fans want him, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Before I get to that quickly, I want to ask, did someone call in to call you contrarian earlier?
Yes.
The guy whose nicknames include the Dark Knight and the Sports Vulture, they sat on hold to call you a contrarian.
Yeah, it was a good burn.
That's what they did.
that's very fascinating. So I wanted to feed your James Harden take. In 2017, his stat line was 29 points, 11 assists, and 8 rebounds. What was the Celtics' assist leader last year? 5 assists? So if you ignore eye tests and go by stats, how was Harden such a bad teammate? At least back then, maybe he changed his game. But like that year, Harden – I want that, dude. With the, those numbers, that's almost a triple-double. That's 11 assists. I mean, I'll take that any day.
Okay. I mean, that's a fan who wants him. I think most fans say if you bring in James Harden, he corrupts Jason Tatum and he corrupts Jaylen Brown. And what's he ever won? And it's just, it's annoying to hear that. It's another reason why I find myself pulling for Kyrie, dealing with all these James Harden phone calls, and no fans want him, and doesn't seem like the Celtics want him, even though he's available and he might go in the division. Like, Danny, instead of trading for a guy who was first team all NBA and has been an MVP and a three-time runner-up for the MVP, a three-time scoring champ, I think three-time consecutive scoring champ in the NBA, instead of dealing for a guy like that, he'd rather have the guy in the division, which is insane. He'd rather have him go to Brooklyn, or rather have him go to Philly, or maybe elsewhere in the conference, Miami, Milwaukee, and all those teams will be better than you the second they get James Harden. Some are already better off than the Celtics. So I just don't get why fans wouldn't want a player of that caliber. Like, there was a lot of talk when they brought in Garnett and Ray Allen and Paul Pierce. There won't be enough basketballs to go around. How are they going to make it work? They made it work. They made it work. And, you know, James Harden may not have the winning pedigree within him, but I don't know. He's been to an NBA Finals. He's been to two Eastern Conference Finals. That's about as good as any Celtic has done.
I thought he certainly showed a little bit more effort defensively in the bubble last year, too. Or last year, months ago, whatever it was. Yeah. He has that blocking against OKC. It's like, oh, wow, where the hell did this come from?
That was something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a little something.
Yeah.
Did either of you, I'm sure you guys talked about this on the night show. Do you have any concerns, though, about the fact he may be trying to eat himself out of the league?
Oh, for sure. Yes. I mean, I would still trade for him, but those, Arkan, those were terrifying, those pictures.
Yeah, those were that. The pictures were worse than the video. I actually watched the video, and there was just a montage. If you're watching on TV, there was just a montage of like of photos of him, and it was really funny. It went from like skinny Harden to modern day yesterday than that game Harden. And I'll tell you what, the every restaurant on Hanover Street will be rooting for that guy if he comes over here. But I don't see it happening. I think that the callers and sort of the Celtics fans, their fears about what a James Harden on this team would mean, I think are indicative of what Danny Ainge thinks. You bring in James Harden, all of a sudden it's not really your team anymore. This team you built with these young players that you drafted, now it's all about James Harden, and that's why he got all those assists and why he scores all the time, you know, why his numbers are what they are in Houston, because that's how he's used. I don't think he'd be used that same way here. That would maybe mess things up on the Celtics end, but I also look at it like this. You're bringing in a 30-point scorer. Brad Stevens can't figure out a way to work with a 30-point scorer, one of the best scorers in the NBA, maybe in like the history of the NBA, this guy. Like, that to me was is unfortunate. If they think that little of Brad Stevens and Danny Ainge, that they can't make something work here with some young superstars and a former MVP, then what are we talking about? Why do we revere these guys so much?
Yeah, I would still, the only untradeable guy for me is Tatum. Period, end of story.
Right.
Everyone else would be, you know, I'm willing to move on as much as I like Brown, but like, you know, if you can get Harden, you bring in a player like that, even if he's problematic. But those photos, I tweeted at the time, I initially refused to believe it. I thought it was a bad angle because he was so skinny in the bubble, and it was just such an extreme change in his weight that it's like, you know, it's like Christian Bale going from the machinist to American Hustle when he's pounding cheeseburgers and donuts. It was so extreme, and it's like, no, there's no way. But no, I saw the other photos and video. It's like, oh God, what's happening here?
Yeah, it's,
he's just given up.
A bad angle can only do so much, right? Like, people would argue that for like Josh Beckett when his gut was hanging out, or Pablo Sandoval, like, oh, it's just a bad angle. He was leaning backwards. Like, there's only so much a bad angle can do. But he does. It is like Christian Bale or like some actor trying to add mass for an Oscar worthy role, or like Fat Mac on Always Sunny, like just doing it to do it. Like that's what it looks like James Harden is doing. He's probably just trying to force his way out of Houston. Probably
as simple as that. I'm hungry. It's an agenda-free Friday here in Felger and Mass. Big Jim Jones and Arkand in for Mike and Tony. You want to join us, 617-779-0985. More of your phone calls coming up. And again, it's going to be a loose show today, and some further proof of that coming up next.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub, and streaming anywhere you go. On the Sports Hub app. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Ever wonder where Felger Roger and Maz get all their inside information?
I heard from a guy at a cocktail party.
Always relying on their credible sources. Felger and Maz, the show to come to when sports news breaks.
Oh!
He's Mr. Bob Sosie. He's got hot takes.
Yeah, it was miserable.
And he thinks that Felger and Maz are just a couple of snakes.
Yes. He's Mr. Bob Sosie. He's 5 foot fun. Here comes a take that'll scorch you like the sun.
Told you, we're keeping it loose here on our Agenda Free Friday on Felger and Maz. Big Jim Jones and Arcand in for Mike and Tony. And, you know, who keeps it more loose and goes with the flow and always has a smile on his face? Like Bob Sosie. Time to chill with Bob Sosie, play-by-play announcer for the Patriots Radio Network, brought to you by Coors Light. Crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Coors Light, made for football, made to chill. Hey, Bob.
Hi, Jim. A little disappointed you didn't update the lyrics there with you and Adam in the chairs with Christian today.
Well, listen.
Yeah, Jim, what's up with that?
Jim. It's a holiday book here, Bob. Don't put more work on my plate. I'm just trying to, you know, get through this show and get on vacation.
Air checks from callers, air checks from Bob.
Tremendous work, guys.
I think far more highly of you two than I do of Tony and Mike.
Bob, I really only have one pressing question. How much would you prefer to be in Miami for this game on Sunday rather than calling it from this frozen hellhole?
Jim, do I really have to answer that?
These have to be the ones where you and Zoe are like, oh, God, this pandemic. Like, make it
after
stop.
After about an hour and a half yesterday of trying to shovel out the light and fluffy snow that accumulated on my driveway, I was ready to go to Miami on my own. I was going to drive there.
But the bubble.
Assuming I could get my car eventually out of the driveway.
Yeah. Well, it did feel like the bubble burst, though, last week where they got, you know, exposed by the Rams, who I thought the biggest telling thing to me from that game, Bob, was just the disparity between the rosters, not just about quarterback, but just in so many other positions. So are you already kind of, look, I get it. Like, you got to do the play-by-play for these games, but are you already starting to focus a bit looking at the offseason for 2021 and what areas that they do need to address?
Well, I think they're obvious areas to start with, and I think we've been looking at them in kind of a way every week this year and preparing for the games in 2020. And you look at the obvious spots on offense, tight end, wide receiver. And you know, you talk about the Rams game. I think it's a great illustration right there of a position, for example, with the Patriots that's been so glaring not only this season but the last 2 years, Jim, and that's the tight end spot. And you know, Devin Asiasi and Dalton Keene, they've had challenges physically this year, the condensed training camp as rookies, et cetera. So they're only rookies, and you know, next year they may come on, the year after that. But you look at the position, the lack of production at that position, and then you look at the Rams and the way that game started. And you know, Higbee's been around there for a while, and he's not an all-pro tight end, but he's more than serviceable. And along with Everett, I thought they had a huge impact on that game, putting two tight ends on the field at the same time. And we haven't seen even that for this Patriots team. So, yeah, I've been kind of looking ahead all season long, like the rest of you guys and everybody else in our business in town, and trying to prepare for this year's games, but at the same time, you know, looking at those spots of glaring need because they've had such an impact on this year's team.
So one of the things we were talking about earlier is something that Bert wrote about the Patriots and their lack of spending at the skill positions over the years. You know, they haven't paid a receiver more than Randy Moss from 2008. They haven't paid a tight end more than Gronk in 2012. They haven't paid a running back more on an average annual value basis since Corey Dillon in 2005. So why should we expect that to change this offseason? They have all this cap space. I'm nervous they're not going to use it where they arguably need it most.
Well, I think, you know, Adam, the track record is what it is. And to me, although there have been a couple of instances, and I spelled a couple of those out in our email exchange this morning, where Bill Belichick has gone against his history when they made the splash and jumped right into free agency and signed Stephon Gilmore to that top of the market deal as they did on day one several years ago. And then, of course, two years ago, drafting N'Keal Harry in the first round. That was a first under Belichick for the Patriots to take a wide receiver in the first round. So there's always a possibility that this spring, come free agency, they can break precedent under Belichick. But I don't expect it in those two areas. I think they're going to look for a lot of value for the cost, as always. And I think that means maybe the next tier of wide receivers, when everybody is looking at Kenny Galladay and Allen Robinson and some of the other headliners at the wide receiver position, or thinking about, you know, one of the top two tight ends or top three tight ends out there in the market, maybe they look to that next tier of guys who can come in. And along with several other investments at those positions, you know, give them the kind of production they need to be an improved football team. And then I think on the other side of the ball, you have to look at defense, and I think they have to spend in the front seven. And I think that's where you probably can get some guys who can come in and make a big impact right away.
Yeah, so Bob, is there anyone, you know, that's on the team now that is going to be an unrestricted free agent that you look at as like a must sign? Do they need to sign Lawrence Guy? Do they need to sign Adam Butler? And even on the offensive line, should they, you know, pay for David Andrews? Do you look at any one particular player that's on the roster now as they got to bring back?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I was writing down some names today, and I wrote down Adam Butler, for example, and Lawrence Guy as well in the front seven. And, you know, Guy's a veteran, and he's been a huge impact player on this team as a leader in the locker room. And I think he's been a very steady player. But to what extent do you go to re-sign him? You probably can get him on a friendlier deal for you just because of the age and the experience.
He's still in his 20s, too, right?
You know, does he really qualify? You know, so I don't know if that means a must-sign guy, but I'd want to keep him in the fold. And I'd want to keep Adam Butler. Yeah, there's a guy who I think has really played so much better the last few weeks after 1 week off. He played 64 straight games, and he's battling through injuries this year, non-productive. And the last few games, we've seen him come to play for this team. And I want a guy like that around. I think the secondary is an interesting situation because you got a guy like J.C. Jackson. You know, he certainly has shown that he's got the ability to be a top cornerback in this league, but came in as an undrafted free agent. There were reasons why he was undrafted. Do you want to make a long-term financial commitment to him? And, you know, what do you do with Stephon Gilmore? Do you let him go at the end of this year, trade him, eventually let the contract play out and go through free agency? Or do you try to extend him, give him a little bit of bump, make him happier so that he continues to be a productive player for you for the next couple of years? And then offensively, I think, you know, you look at Andrews and Tooney, and those are the two of the most interesting ones for me because David's such a valuable part of that offensive line, like you say. But, you know, at the same time, he was a guy that was undrafted coming in. So how much of a financial commitment, how much are you going to stretch to get him? And they didn't do it with Tooney to this point. He's playing on the franchise tag. So I'm not sure there's an indication they're going to do it there. And then at running back, you know, if you come back with, and I don't even want to hear this, the same kind of offense as you had this year, then how much do you extend? You know, what do you do with James White, Rex Burkhead, you know, wherever he winds up, whether it's back in New England or somewhere else because of the injury, it's going to have to be on the team's terms as opposed to his.
Bob, do you think we see the return of Edelman this weekend against Miami? And as a secondary question, you know, if and when he returns, do you think this is the end of the run this year for Edelman?
Yeah, you know, Adam, that's a great question that I was thinking a lot about before we saw that he practiced a couple of days ago. I wondered, you know, it's been very quiet the last few weeks after there was some percolating, you know, speculation that maybe Edelman was ready to come back and that the clock would begin ticking. Bill was asked about it about a month ago, and then it went quiet for a couple of weeks, and here he is practicing this week. And I have to wonder that at his age, given the wear and tear on his body, I mean, to have surgery this year for maintenance, you know, during the middle of the season, at a time when, you know, the Patriots desperately needed him on the field. You know, that certainly does not bode well beyond 2020. But in the case of Julian Edelman, you know, he may not want to end his career on terms like this. And so I wouldn't be surprised by anything he sets his mind to do. And he possibly could come back next year just to play one more season for this team. Or, you know, perhaps for his sake, you know, if he wants to go to a team that he thinks could be a contending team, you know, maybe he becomes a valuable veteran piece somewhere else. But I think that in Julian Edelman's case, you know, these next 2 weeks, there is a possibility that, you know, whether he plays against Miami or not, that those next two games against Buffalo and the Jets, you know, could very well be it for him here in New England. At least that's the way I look at it. I hope not, but that's the way I look at it.
All right, Bob, mathematically still alive. Raiders lose last night. As we wrap, do you still believe in the path?
Jim, speaking of Julian Edelman, you know, when they were down 28-3 in Super Bowl 51, he kept reminding us it's going to be a great story. It's going to be a great story. So there's still a chance.
They had better odds in that Super Bowl than they do with this.
All right, well, borrowing from Dumb and Dumber, and probably fitting in my case, you know, there is still a chance. There's a chance. I'm saying there's a chance. So, you know, until they're eliminated, they're still alive. So there's that 2% path. It's a very narrow strip. You're going to have to kind of walk with one foot in front of the other to get there right now. But, you know, who knows?
All right, Bob Soucy, we'll be with Scott Zolak with the call. Kickoff at 1 o'clock, Patriots at Miami Dolphins here on 98.5 The Sports. Bob probably won't talk to you until the new year, so Merry Christmas, happy holidays to you and yours. Take care, buddy.
Yeah, likewise, guys. All the best to you and yours. Happy holidays.
All see right. you, Bob.
Bob Soucy, again, the voice of the New England Patriots and the Patriots Radio Network, brought to you by Coors Light. Kickoff for Patriots Dolphins again. 1 o'clock. Catch it here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. More of your calls coming up on an agenda-free Friday. It's Big Jim Jones and Arcand in for Felger and Maz. Arcand will get you caught up with the Sports Hub headlines, then back right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
It's the show the crowd goes wild for. It's Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub. Simulcast NBC Sports Boston. It's an agenda-free Friday. No Mike, no Tony today. Big Jim, Jones, Arcand, and for the guys and you at 617-779-0985. Again, it's truly agenda-free today. We're going to have fun. What? Calls the hotline mad. Don't pick it up if he calls, Jimmy. There was something you put in the email chain this morning, Jones, that I guess you guys have talked about, discussed on the night show in regard to what now? It's something that's based on a Christopher Walken story?
Okay, well, so there's two stories that I found equally shocking when I read them. This is from yesterday, each of these. But I guess story number one is Christopher Walken claimed on the Tonight Show the other day that he has never owned a computer or a cell phone.
I don't believe that for a second.
77 years old, never in his life has he owned a computer or a cell phone. And he said, you know, it's not that I'm against them or whatever, just technology passed me by and I feel like, you know, I couldn't keep up, so I never got one. So you don't buy that, number
no,
one?
No, I'm a Luddite. I write letters. No, I don't believe that for a second, no. That just doesn't seem possible in 2020.
Okay, well, get ready, because I think there's an even more shocking story from Ian Eagle. Who, again, Arcand made the best point. What did you say about Ian Eagle and his believability, Arcand, when we were talking about this the other night?
I said, how can you believe a guy named Ian who calls himself Ian? That's ridiculous.
That's a great point.
How could you possibly do that?
Completely fair. Honestly, shame on me for even halfway believing this. But Ian Eagle, in an interview with Dan Le Batard, claims he's never tried a condiment in his life. Ketchup, mustard, mayo, anything of the like, never tried it. Now, he did acknowledge he's tried barbecue sauce. It's a little unclear how, A, he differentiates that, and maybe, B, if he means it was, like, cooked into chicken or something like that. Like, I don't know if that counts as a condiment or a topping. But I looked at these two stories, and I thought, one, neither one's believable. Two, they're both ridiculous. And three, I would rather go through life never having my cell phone or computer again than never being able to eat a condiment. I would argue that mustard, mayo, ketchup, things like this are the best part of the meal. It's almost what I enjoy eating the most. I would much rather give up my phone or my computer. I mean, it may make me worse at my job than I already am if I don't have a cell phone or a computer, but whatever. At least I could enjoy every meal by eating condiments. So yeah. I would rather give up the technology.
All right, so first, I actually find Ian Eagle. I'm going to try to name myself after the movie Iron Eagle. Like, I don't, but yeah, call yourself Ian. But I find him more believable than Christopher Walken because I don't know if you guys know any picky eaters. If you've been around them, they're insufferable, and they're that picky that they probably have. I believe that they've never had a baked potato. Potato or a condiment or whatever it happens to be in their life because they're so picky. But if I had to choose, I as much as I love all the sauces, and I'm with you, Jones, and I put sriracha on everything. I love ketchup with fries. Like, if I had to choose, I'm gonna go on with my life with my cell phone.
Boom.
I have to. Like, it's so necessary, not just for this job, but just everything in my life at this point. If I'm going to travel,
forget about the job. Enjoy the meal.
Well, if I'm going to travel, I'm not with my wife. You have a kid. How are you going to keep in touch with your family? There's no payphones anymore.
Yeah, whatever. That makes it better. I don't have to talk to anybody. That's even better.
You just go back up into the mountains of Vermont.
Yeah, exactly. eating my sriracha and my ketchup. Yeah, exactly. So that's what I'll be doing.
It would be necessary to, like, I'm really thinking this out here. It's necessary to keep in touch with loved ones. My wife, my dad. My dad lives far anyway, but if I'm away, my wife. My text chain with my friends is one of the only things that I truly enjoy in life. I would be lost without that. Some of the apps that I use daily, and I'll tell you right now, like, I never usually play games on my phone, but I don't know if you've, this is a plug for them, but Retro Bowl, if you haven't played this,
Ooh, it's like the
best football video game I've played in a decade.
I play Retro Bowl. It's like Tecmo Bowl, basically, but you only play offense. It's awesome.
Oh, Arcade, it's so much better than any Madden I've played over the last decade where you need a degree to play that effing game now, just to even play it on easy. This Retro Bowl is the best. I play it like for hours on end each day now. Yeah, I love the sauces.
Not better than mustard.
I get it, Jones, but I'd be lost without my cell phone more than anything else. I don't even need the computer, my cell phone. I'm going cell phone over hashtag Team Condiment.
Boo. Boo. Arcana, you feel the same way. I know you feel the same way.
Yeah, I agonized over this pretty much all night once we started this conversation. It was really tough for me to pick one because I love condiments, and especially like seafood condiments.
Apparently
like
you don't.
Tartar sauce. Yes, but I do, though. Tartar sauce, cocktail sauce, remoulade, all of that. It's just that I'm so addicted to my phone. I'm more addicted to my phone than I am to condiments. I think that's what it's really all about.
That's what you think.
And this doesn't count. Like, this isn't.
That's how addiction works, yes.
This isn't you know, putting spices under that umbrella, is it? I can still like salt and pepper.
I think you're allowed some salt and pepper. Yeah, Ian Eagle copped to eat putting some salt on his French fries. So yeah.
Okay, so I can get by with that. It would still be missing the dipping, and I'm with Arcan, too. If you got a clam plate, you got to have tata. And without that, it wouldn't be the same. But, you know, clam with the big fat bellies on, they're still delicious on their own.
Worst part of the food is the food. That's the worst part of food. Condiments are by far the best part. That's what makes everything enjoyable.
That is a peak Jones take.
It's the most fattening part of it. It's the most delicious part of it.
Go ahead, Jones.
I was just going to say, I wouldn't want to give those up.
All right, yeah, so he is alone on this one in terms of the room here. Jones would go condiments over the phone.
I'd live a life like Ian Eagle as opposed to like Christopher Walken.
Arcan and I need the phone and the computer. It's not so much about the computer. I'm with Christian. Like, I am hooked on my phone as much as I hate Twitter. It's a love-hate relationship. I'm on there way too much. It's melting my brain.
What if you got your PS5? Then you wouldn't have to worry about playing games on your cell phone anymore.
Again, it's not for me. I'm trying to give it as an effing gift. So many people are like, oh, you're this old playing video games? I play this the Retro Bowl on my phone. That's about all I do. The wife and I use the PS4 basically as like a Netflix machine. I don't really play any games on the thing. Mm-hmm. It's not for me. I just want to give it as a gift. And you greedy a-holes are trying to sell them for like $2,000 each. God, you people. Oh, the worst. Chris in Wakefield has a thought on this. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, guys. I'm calling BS on this story on Ian Eagle. First of all, did the guy never have a salad? And if he's had a salad, has he just eaten it dry? Salad dressing is a condiment. What are your thoughts?
I don't know if salad dressing a condiment?
No, salad dressing, salad dressing.
It's a dressing.
I don't put it. It becomes a condiment when
ranch
you
is a condiment.
When you use it as a condiment, dipping fried food into it? Now that ranch dressing becomes ranch, the condiment. But if you're using it in a salad, ranch is a dressing.
Right. Arcand asked last night: is tomato sauce a condiment? Which no, it's a sauce.
No, it's a pasta sauce. It's a completely different category.
Is gravy a condiment?
Like brown gravy?
Yes.
Yes, brown gravy is a condiment.
That's a condiment?
I think so. Yes.
I feel even stronger about my argument. I feel even better. I feel even better about where I stand.
Your case does get stronger.
Yes, the defense rests. Thank you.
Imagine having the turkey dinner without gravy.
Yeah, just eating a dry bird.
You're choked to death on dry turkey.
Seriously. Good luck.
So something else to weigh in on here in an agenda-free Friday. You with Jones, your team condiment, or Arcan and I, your team cell phone. 617-779-0985. Somewhere Mike Felger is smashing his head into a wall, I would imagine, if he's listening. But hey, if you didn't want this kind of talk, you'd be here. You
know? No, he should be team condiment. He's team get off the internet. He's probably team condiment.
Then again, did you hear him yesterday that he's saying that like snow days?
That was ridiculous.
Snow days are the time to actually button it down.
Yeah, and tighten it up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's no better time to just pound food and get drunk and shovel. But of course, he is like, no, got to work out, eat peas. 617-779-0985. You want to join us here on an agenda-free Friday. Long commercials, free segment is coming up next.
It's Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Mazz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Not complaining.
Oh, you're the mean boss. Aw.
It's just Felger.
No, 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 no. It's always no.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Simulcast, NBC Sports Boston, agenda-free Friday. No Mike, no Tony today. We got Big Jim, Adam Jones, Christian Arcanon for the guys, and we will be joined by Chris Gasper of WCVB TV Channel 5 coming up in just about 10 minutes. It's our long commercial-free segment here. 617-779-0985. The phone number is for you to call in, and you set the direction here on an agenda-free Friday. Everything is on the table. If you heard that last segment, you already know that. Let's go to Alan in Florida. Wants to talk about the Red Sox. How's Florida right now, Alan? You have to be so happy you're there and not here in this frozen hell.
I am actually not. I love a nice snowstorm.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm actually very upset.
You like what do you like to do in the snow?
What do I like to do in the snow?
Yeah.
I like to
snowball fights.
I like it coming down. I lived there my whole life. Well, what's the big deal
sled?
About a snowstorm?
Just the ambiance, you're saying.
It's a lot better than a hurricane. But by the way, I use one condiment only. When I go to the Hingham Lobster Pound and get the best fried clams ever. Once in a while, I go to Nick's in Wollaston. But then I need my tartar sauce. Other than that,
tartar.
I wanted to ask you something, Murray.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know this show is fun and games, but sometimes I think you have to take a little responsibility. Now, Maz yesterday made a statement that, almost fell off the chair listening. He was talking about, maybe for Bueller, I would give up a number two pick. But for Trevor Bauer, who was the most dominant pitcher in Major League Baseball last year, was absolutely a stud, I wouldn't give up a number two draft pick. I mean, it is so ludicrous. You got a team that has the worst pitching staff in Major League Baseball, and I'm including the Pittsburgh Pirates and Baltimore.
They desperately need it. And I there's some concerns I have about Trevor Bauer in terms of how he carries himself, but he was nails last year. There's no doubt about that. Do you have any concerns, though, that the guy's never pitched in a market like this? He talks a big game, but Cleveland, Cincinnati, I don't know. I feel like he could come here and get eaten alive.
He's a head case, but I'm going to tell you something. With the general manager they have and with the lack of interest they have, I think they need something like this to stir things up. I mean, it is this team, I don't know where they're going. I'd like to know who's going to be the second game pitcher this year. I mean, if anyone counts on Chris Sale, they need their head examined. And who's the first baseman? Who's the second baseman?
Oh, half the team I couldn't even name for you right now, Alan. I don't know how many Red Sox fans actually could without having to go look it up. And thank you for the call and happy holidays. I do agree with him 100% on this. I don't know how you guys feel. That team desperately needs buzz.
Yeah, well, again,
and
that's...
signing
yeah.
Trevor Bauer, you would get it.
That's why I think you're getting these comments, the Joel Sherman thing. Executives are saying, look out for the Red Sox. I think Henry and Warner know that. And again, I don't want to fault them for spending money. I want the Red Sox to spend money. They should spend money. You should be the big bullies on the block. You don't worry about Linda and her shoe collection. It's not a big deal. Spend on the baseball team. So I want them to do that. But number one, I'd like them to be consistent from one year to the next. You can't, completely skip out on spending like they did last year and then turn around and flush a bunch of money down the toilet. Hopefully it'll be better than Hanley Ramirez and Pablo Sandoval. And secondarily, I would like it if I felt like baseball ops was calling the shots on this. And I don't feel like a buzzworthy signing is going to be Chaim Bloom and baseball ops, Brian O'Halloran. I feel like that's going to be John Henry, just demanding they go sign someone like Trevor Bauer or someone like George Springer or whoever. And I don't think that's a good way to build a ball club.
Do you guys think he would work here, Bauer?
I don't know. Arcan, you had some qualms when we were talking about him last night or the other night, right?
Yeah, I think Trevor Bauer is a very thin-skinned guy. You ever see him on Twitter? Like, he's he has real issue, and I just don't know. I mean, listen, he'd listen to this station for 5 minutes and drive off a bridge. Like, you can't expect someone like him to really flourish in a hypercritical market like this. I just base that off of his personality. He might be able to go out and pitch well, but I also think, like, you know, like, how well is well enough to bring this team back into contention? If he was out there pitching and he had a chance to win the World Series, we'd all care. But if you're just a good pitcher on a middling team and you're flipping out on Twitter all the time, you don't last long here in Boston that way.
He's really only had like two great years also.
Well, last year being one of them.
Last year he was awesome. He won the Cy Young. He was an all-star in 2018 where he had a 2.21 ERA. He won 17 games the year before that, but his ERA was 4.20. Like, I don't know, lifetime, he's about to turn 30. His ERA is almost 4 for his career. And I don't know. I mean, he was really good last year, and maybe he's figured something out. He was a hugely hyped prospect when he first came up, and maybe he finally had put it all together. But even beyond the off-field stuff, I just on the field, there's been some real, you know, average, mediocre years in there with him.
And their pitching does stink. And if it was just a one-year deal, because he did say he'd go year to year for the rest of his career. If it was a one-year deal, yeah, look, his rabbit ears would be up. That's evident. You follow this guy on Twitter, if you've just seen anyone retweet him, like, he's just barking back and forth at everybody, teasing people, like, you know, when the season ended, I'm in New York, I'm in Boston.
Right.
Where's he going to go next? I think he could put up with that for a year. He'd be great for business. Selfishly, like, I want it to happen so we'd have something to talk about.
He might storm into the studio.
Right. He probably would. But for 1 year, I think it might work. Beyond that, meh. But I'll tell you, just in terms of them needing real help in the rotation, they should take a look at him if it's just a 1 year deal. Let's go to John and Maynard, who wants to talk about the condiment discussion we were just having.
Oh, nice.
Go ahead, John.
Good.
Yeah. Look, I've listened to bits of three different shows today. I've had three of the biggest laughs I've had listening to the Sports Hub since you guys have existed. None of them have been anything to do with sports. I was just wondering, aside from the condiments, who cares? Why talk about sports? Like, I enjoyed the not sports stuff today more than anything. Mm. I think you guys ought to go in a different direction.
Well, John, I love that more than anything. So that's the call of my life right there. Like, if it was up to me, yeah, I don't know, it'd be a lot more condiment talk than anything else. But, you know, by and large,
5, the Condiment Hub does have a good ring to it.
By and large, it is a sports station. People are tuning in for sports. We only hear from a small percentage of the audience on phones and Twitter. So, you know, you have to play to the bigger base, and the bigger base wants to hear sports. But believe me, you want to talk? I'd give you 3 hours on Tartar. Sure, why not? Arcan can too. He loves it.
Absolutely. And by the way, if you really people on a sports station,
stop pretending like you guys love it. That's so false. Neither of you are teamed condiments over there. So
Of course I like condiments. Just because I wouldn't give up my phone to have condiments forever doesn't mean I don't love condiments. Of course I love condiments. It's an agonizing decision, Joe.
Doesn't sound like you love it. If you loved it would be an easier call.
I forget why, but I know I mentioned Mike Zimmer's girlfriend earlier.
Oh, yeah.
Chad in Groveland has a thought on that. Go ahead, Chad.
Hello. I just wanted to say thank you. Merry Christmas to everybody. I needed some material, and that was a good tip.
Ah, okay, yes. You ended up doing a search for Mike Zimmer's girlfriend. I believe her name is
Googled.
Katarina Elizabeth.
Can I do it on a work computer?
Yeah.
That's
a work search? She's like an Instagram ass model, but then again, who isn't nowadays? But it is.
Hey, you know, I'm not on a work computer, so I'll go do some research right now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, in terms of an age thing, like, who am I to say? I don't want to judge, but he's 64 years old.
I was just
going to
look that up. That's how old he is? 64.
64. She looks about 28, I would think.
Sure.
So on one hand, good for him. Kind of curious, though, but yes. Yeah, do yourself a favor if you like that caller. Just wanted to thank us for bringing up Mike Zimmer's girlfriend.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, see, there you go.
He's no Cliff Kingsbury, you know, or Sean McVay. So, yeah, it's much more impressive, actually. Not almost more impressive. It's very impressive.
Yeah, the work is for her. Like, because, again, if you're with a Cliff Kingsbury, Sean McVay, you're happy to see that undressed. You're into it. Mike Zimmer, I can't imagine that everything's in its right place. It looks how it's supposed to. Like, it's got to be kind of a mess.
Right. He's not tightening things up on snow days. That's not the body that screams he's inside working out on snow days. No.
Steve in Linfield. Go ahead. You're next here on Agenda Free Friday and Felger and Mass. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Big Jim. How are you doing?
Good. What's up?
Hey, I work at the golf course. You come play in a Linfield. But I just wanted to let you know, you made my day today about Retro Bowl.
Yeah.
I just crap my pants. downloading that app. And you three guys have just given me the greatest Christmas present I've ever gotten. I'm 44 years old, and oh my God, I'm not going home.
Yeah, it's nice. Addicting. Now, did you pay for like the full version, or you just do the free version?
Oh, I just downloaded the app, and I'm already losing my marbles trying to connect with receivers. That's how much of a loser I am.
You got to lead them.
Yeah, Steve, and good luck, and thank you. It's good to hear from you, Steve, who is the pro over at Sagamore in Linfield, which I miss golf so much. Thanks for checking in. Yeah, that Retro Bowl, Arcand, like, did you pay for the full version? It's worth it because you get the snow.
No, well,
the
what
rain.
Happens if you do that? Oh, it rains and snows?
Yeah.
Do you get, like, the real teams and players? That's what I do it for.
You don't get the real name. It doesn't have the NFLPA approval, but it's got more bells and whistles, weather, replays. It was worth it. It was like $2. It's worth doing. Retro
Two
Bowl.
Bucks.
I can't afford that in these tough economic times. All right, it's time to talk to Chris Gasper of Channel 5. We'll get to him right after the Sports Hub headlines here with Kristen Arcand. And if you're holding, we will get to your calls here on Agenda Free Friday, I promise. It's Big Jim Jones and Arcand in for Felger and Mass.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.